This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's 10 past 11, and as always, you are on Bump and Beyond on a Wednesday with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, we are talking about something that I feel most people don't want to talk about because it's a difficult topic to discuss. It's going to be an interesting one because I really want us to talk about. There's a saying that money doesn't solve money problems. And even for couples who have enough of it, money arguments seem to be inevitable from time to time in any relationship. Your partner wants to spend money. You want to save it. You maybe have different ideas about how to invest. And like most things in marriage, communication is key. And to be honest, I often say that as well, also on this show, that the foundation for good parenting is a good marriage. So unfortunately, you're going to have to be talking about these kind of topics. And nothing can break a marriage faster than money. So whether or not it's opening an account or handling your finances separately, whatever you want, it's essential to discuss any financial issues as a couple openly. And I'm hoping today's discussion will assist you in that regard. Me, myself, I have to say that me and my husband luckily have had very similar ideas about money, but we've definitely had a lot of head clashing about it as well, because he can be indulgent when it comes to certain things, and then I'm a lot more conservative when it comes to money. But we've also had it the opposite way around, where when it comes to certain things like running equipment, so shoes and running gear, I can be a bit indulgent. And he, again, can't see the point of why I need so many pairs of shoes, running shoes, and outfits. So as always, and I really feel today I really brought in the big guns. We're going to have like adult conversation today on the show. So joining me today is Chief Economist Davi Ruat. Hello, Davi. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, Yolandi. Good morning to you.
Now, I hope I didn't put you on a pedestal too high today, so you don't have to feel like you have to talk adult today. But I do feel this is a common issue that people don't talk about, even in general, not just as couples.
Yeah, about kids. I just want to tell you about running shoes. I totally agree with you. I've got a number of running shoes, and I'm thinking of buying even more. So you have to have running shoes.
Okay, I'm going to tell my husband later that Davi Ruat said it's okay for me to buy another pair of running shoes.
Yolani, but I think a good place to start perhaps is, instead of starting with kids and starting about what life is like today, maybe we can just stand back a little bit and see where we came from and how we progressed as humans. Because everybody's saying it today, it's so expensive. Everything is so unaffordable today, and the good old days and so on. And all that is simply untrue. Because if you go back, say, 100 years, for example, the majority of the people on this planet lived in abject poverty. That means that people went to bed in hungry, literally hungry. And today, in most places of the world, we do not have abject poverty anymore. Many countries, many huge countries like the Chinese, they succeeded in getting completely rid of abject poverty. If you look at other variables, like, for example, life expectancy, we have never lived this long. Life expectancy in the rich world is between 80 and 85 years. Some other variables, if you look at the number of kids that die before the fifth birthday, for example, it is a fraction of what it used to be. If you look at the cost of just about everything came down. Everything is much, much cheaper today than in the past. A TV is much cheaper than in the past. If you see what you get in a new motor car, for example, and what you pay for a motor car in terms of the number of hours that you work to get this new motor car, it's never been this cheap. The world has become so, so cheap, you can't believe it. And I foresee with artificial intelligence and a lot of other things that is happening, that we will make a huge further progress in terms of all sort of economic variables over the next couple of years. And if you look at specific as far as kids are concerned, you know, 100 years ago, very few people could actually read and write. And today, if you look at education has become, in many instances, for all practical purposes, basically free. And the state has gotten involved in all sort of things as well. Today, the state provides education. The state, in many instances, provides health services. The state is involved in all sort of other things that the state were not involved in previously. So everybody is sitting there and they're holding their heads and saying that their life has become so expensive, it's so difficult to survive, what am I going to do, will I ever get kids? That is simply untrue. We've never had it this good. And things will simply improve over time as well. So yes, that's, I think, a very good starting point, that they don't talk about the good old days, because our kids going to have an even better life than what we have today. So life is wonderful.
So you're starting off with the point that we should really not worry about it, because it's actually going to be coming better and better for us. But in the same breath, I do want to say that we live in a reality that we are becoming older and older and older, and we need to be providing for our future for a long time. And then you read statistics like people are not ready to stop working and go on pension, that most people are not prepared for that. Add kids to the equation, I mean, like you say, things might be cheaper, but there's a lot of things that need to be bought.
Okay, but listen. So I've just pointed out a couple of sort of underlying trends that's been happening globally. But here are some other trends that's been happening. And this is a very, very interesting, actually. And that is, there was an economist with the name of Thomas Malthus. And he said, his basic thesis was as follows. He says that if we've got a lot of food, if there's a good harvest year, for example, then we're going to get a lot of kids, and we're going to eat all the food, and then we're going to die because of hunger the next year. That was basically his argument. And that was, many economists thought that is what life is going to be like. If we improve our food production, then we're simply going to produce more babies, we're going to eat all the food, and we're all going to die. But that's not how the world panned out. What happened is, as we became more wealthier, and as we instead of having more kids, we had fewer and fewer children. And in fact, what's been happening globally is that we've been getting fewer and fewer children. And in many instances, remember, the average woman need to get about 2.2 kids just to maintain the population where it is. And in many countries in the world, the average woman gets significant fewer than one kid. For example, in South Korea, they get 0.7 kids, the average woman. 0.7 kids, tiny kids that they get in South Korea. 0.7 kids. And that means is that your population will halve every 30, 35 years. So the point I want to make here is that as people, as communities become more affluent, instead of becoming more, they're becoming fewer. And that is a very interesting thing, that people are becoming fewer globally. That's got a huge impact on the economy. And the real economic issue that we should be concerned about is that there are so many old people and relatively few young people that can actually support an older population. So we are running out of workers in many places in the world. Not everywhere, but many places in the world. And that's another reason why you shouldn't postpone having kids. And Elon Musk, by the way, I think he's right.
One of the few people that are saying Elon Musk is right.
That is absolutely correct, because the countries that are experiencing contracting populations, like the Japanese, for instance, and soon the Chinese and many other countries, they are experiencing some significant economic problems as well. Not because of too many kids, but because of too few kids, too few potential young workers.
Okay. So we're talking here on the right show, though, because we're talking about parenting. So for us, encouraging people to have more children is definitely something that I like to be doing. Also in the business that I'm in, for sleeping, making people sleep, I don't mind there being more and more children. Definitely not.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we are speaking about can we really afford to have children as parents? I always joke because I feel like I would have been a lot richer. I feel financially, obviously, not emotionally and all the other things, if I didn't have children. I could have been one of those people that took helicopter trips over the Vic Falls and things like that if it wasn't for my children. But then again, like I said, in other ways, it might not have been as rich as it is, as we know, because that's why the show is in existence. As always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions for my guest today, Dawie Ruet, about finances and those type of things, please do. Or let us know, because he was mentioning earlier that in the good old days, things were not actually better. It's better now. And you're a grandma or grandparent. Maybe share with us how bad it was back in the day. I would love to hear from you by WhatsApping us on 061-895-1019. You can obviously also email us at instudio@chaifm.com. If you don't have the Chaifm app yet, why not? You should download it on your phone. It's really easy. And from the app, you will be able to directly WhatsApp us or communicate with us. And you can just listen to this live or on a podcast later, because this show and all of the shows on Chaifm is available on a podcast later. On that note, like I said, I'm speaking to Dawie, and he just reminded us earlier that in the end, things are actually becoming cheaper and cheaper. And on the other hand, it is important. And I mean, at Chaifm and as a Jewish community, we love making more children and adding to the community for sure. So this is right up our alley for sure. But as I said, Dawie, I mean, the reality is it doesn't always feel like that. I feel like I would have been a richer person financially if I didn't have children. If I just think of how much money I pay for school fees. And I mean, you say that the state is providing us with a lot of things. I'm double paying. This whole week, we didn't have water. I had to get a borehole. I very seldom have. So I'm double paying everything. So the state is not really providing a lot.
No, Yolanda. Let me just jump in. When you talk about the state in South Africa, that's not a very good state you're talking about. But because we don't have a very efficient government and local authorities in South Africa. Certainly.
But because I mean, it's always that thing. It's like lots of people, when I ask them, when are you going to have children? Then they're telling me, no, I'm not sure we can afford, or another child. Then they're like, no, we're not sure we can afford another child. I mean, if you're going to wait till you can afford a child, will you ever have children? Can we really afford to have children? I'm asking the man who has four children, by the way.
Well, I can tell you one thing about kids. It's not a matter of asking the question of whether you can afford it. Quite often, but they simply don't have a choice. They simply arrive.
A good point, Touché.
So they simply pop up one morning. They have to start feeding them. Well, I can tell you is that I can remember I've got two sets of kids, and I can remember when I was a young man, it wasn't always that easy. Now that I'm a little bit more established financially, I guess it is a little bit easier to look after the kids. I mean, I've got young kids, by the way. We've got twins of 11 years old, two girls of 11 years, and I've got my eldest daughter is 35 years old now.
Okay, nice. So there's quite a gap age difference.
Yeah, so I guess I've got the whole, but you know, something that I realized is that my son is a Skelm lawyer in Pretoria. And I always ask this question. He started his own firm a few years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. And he was actually, if you look at how much money he made, he was actually very, very poor. He was certainly not part of the middle classes in terms of how much money he earned. But he was in a position where he could actually start his own firm, and today his firm is quite successful. I think he's doing an excellent job. And I ask myself this question quite a lot. What is this thing that we call wealth? What is this thing that we call, you know, being wealthy? And I think I kind of have the answer to that. And my son taught me this lesson. Because until about 4 years ago, he certainly was not part of the middle income category, but still he could survive for two reasons, I believe. And I think those are the two important things that you can and should give to your kids. The first one, you need to teach your children a certain value set, a set of values. Now, those things are things like, for example, you need to teach your kids that you do not steal from other people. You need to teach your kids that you, through hard work and dedication, you become successful. You have to teach your kids to respect other people. And you have to teach your kids that if you say something, you're actually going to do that, that the people can trust you on your word. A set of values. That is what you need to teach your kids. And what I've discovered is that families with that set of values, what quite often happen, they become wealthy because, not because of their connections or whatever, because they live according to a certain set of values. That's so. That's the first one that you need.
And I love that. That's so beautiful. I would add kindness to that, but maybe that's part of respect.
Values, whatever you do. And then the second thing that you can provide to your kids, and this is what I also provided to my son, is that you can provide him with a social security net, a fallback, a network where they can fall. And that's what I gave my son, because he was, my daughter was a little bit different because she's just an overperformer. I mean, you don't need to teach her. She knows everything.
I'll send you the link to this podcast later and you can forward it to them. Yeah.
She knows everything, and she paid for all her studies and everything because she was one of those, you know. But anyway, what my son taught me is that as long as he works according to a certain set of values, and as long as he knows he can fall back on me to tie him over those difficult months, then eventually you will get established and you can start his own firm. And I think that is what is important. Provide your kids with a set of values and a support network. And once you've done that, and I think the Jewish community, by the way, is exceptionally good at that.
For sure, we are a great community.
You do that and you have a successful community. Of course, you can twiggle on the side on things, how to fund for university, how to pay for university and this and that and things like that. But those are the two things that I think are, that is what wealth is. A value set and a support network. Once you've got that, you've got your kids are up and running.
Oh, no, I know, and I love that. It's really perfect. And I think that also gives reassurance for people. But in the same breath, like I said, I think finances in general is something that's difficult for even before you have children. I think as a married couple, we don't talk about financial differences and talking about how we are going to manage and create that support system in the end of the day for our children. Some in our case, for instance, if you go into one person, maybe comes in with the generational wealth that already has a support structure for both of us and for our children, if there's children in the future, but and the other person doesn't. What are those things that you think people should talk about before they get married and before they get children?
So we've been talking about all sort of philosophical stuff and values and stuff like that. So let's get down to the money stuff. How to do that? And I've learned a couple of things. And that is the first one that you need to do is that you have to talk to you have to speak to the family. Yeah. And forget about finances to start off with. Start and talk to your family. Get your family together and say, listen, let's talk about what we want as a family. And go for it. Go crazy ideas. I want a new car. I want an airplane. I want to go to Disney World. Blah, blah. Let them all, share their dreams with you. That's fine. Yeah. Put it all on the table. That's all what we want to do. And we want a new house. And we want to send the kids to university, whatever. So put all of that on the table. So now we know what our dreams are. And as a family, we get our dreams and what we want in life. We get that all. And then the second thing that you need to do is, okay, now we know what we want to do. How are we going to get there? And a very important thing is to find out what is going on. And this is crucially important. When you talk about finances, the first thing that you need to do, find out what is going on. Because people don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really true.
Find out what's going on.
How much money your partner is earning. It's shocking to me sometimes how few women actually know how much money their husband is, first of all, earning and how much money they're spending to maintain the household.
And just find out, where do you have some savings? Who do you owe? How much money? The pharmacy or whatever. The debt, whatever, on your mortgage, on the car, whatever. Find out what's going on.
It's a very good point.
That's the first financial step. All right. Yeah. Now, once you know, so now we know what the dreams are, the plans are, the family plan. Now we know what's going on in finances. Okay, now we're slowly trying to get this, these things together. So now we start drawing up a kind of a cash flow, a budget kind of thing. So these are the things we want to do. This is what we have. This is how much we owe. Now the picture is becoming a little bit more clearer. Mm-hmm. And now we start drawing up a budget.
Yeah.
Now, a budget consists of all sort of things. A budget consists of those things that you, a list of things that you have to pay. And you start with the most important things. The important things, I guess, depending on who you are. But the important things are probably school fees and rent and electricity and
food,
that sort of
maybe.
Stuff. Maybe. Maybe food somewhere down the line. Maybe beer should even be on top there somewhere. I don't know, depending on individual.
Again, depends on the person.
And then you have, and then you have the sort of the income side. How much money do you actually earn? And now you try to match these kind of things. On the expense side, you have to include a couple of things that you have to include. Things like, for example, unforeseen expenditures. Things like, for example, retirement savings. You have to do this, retirement savings.
Yeah.
And then, of course, pay for your dreams. I really want to go to Disney World. Save for that. Save for this Disney World. So the point I want to make, and this is crucially important, plan. Find out what's going on and plan. And share this with the rest of your family. So now we've got the budget going and all that. We've got a plan going. And now you will see always the things that we want to do, we simply can't afford that. And now we have to get rid, unfortunately, this is short-term stuff. We get rid of some of the dreams in the short term. We can't go to Disney World yet, but we're going to go to Gold Reef City. That's a good second. We go to Gold Reef City, sort of maybe in 2 years' time we go.
Maybe just the bride.
But, you know, until these two sides of the equation balance more or less. But do not cut the unforeseen expenditure. You don't cut that. And do not cut your retirement savings. Don't cut that. That is part that you need to include that in the expense side. And now you've got a bit of an idea. Okay. And now you get together as a family on a frequent basis, regularly. And you talk about things. Do we have new dreams? Let's get a little bit more realistic. And that's the process. That is how you budget as a family. And if you do that and you know what's going on, you will be amazed how quickly and how suddenly all your finances fall into place. And if you're a little bit strict with yourself, all of a sudden you will find yourself ahead of the curve and you will be able to, you know, to handle unforeseen expenditures and all sort of stuff much easier.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, that was such practical advice as well. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM. I am your host, Yolandi Becker, and we are talking finances with Chief Economist Davi Ruat. And he's given us such great ideas about actually just talking and communicating about finances. If you've missed it so far, don't despair. Remember that our show is unavailable on a podcast every week and every day. So you can go listen to it at your own leisure. This show and all of the shows I've had before, and we've got such a nice library already available for you to go listen at about various topics when it comes to parenting. Davi, as you mentioned, talking about finances, and unfortunately, I do have to admit that me and my husband only in recent times actually properly started on a regular basis. Not that we never spoke about finances, but honestly, we call it our budget meeting at the beginning of every month. We actually, even if it's just 10 minutes on a Monday morning, once a month, just to recap where we're at. Like, hey, how's your credit card looking? How's your home loans looking? How's this looking? Just to kind of recap where we're at, what we're working towards, just to kind of check in with each other that we're on the same page. Yes, Davi.
Can I tell you about the monkey?
Yes, please do tell me.
I must tell you about the monkey. I've been trying to put this the emphasis on planning because that is why to find out what's going on and plan stuff.
Yes.
Now, let me give you an example. Many people will understand what I'm just gonna the story I'm gonna tell now. Yes. If you go on holiday and you haven't planned properly for this, and in fact just normal life.
Yes.
If you go on normal life and you haven't planned for normal life and you swipe the credit card or you go and go buy something at the takeaway or you order something, blah, 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 there's a little monkey on your shoulder and it keeps on pulling your ear. And you know, you don't know whether I have enough money in a credit card or not. You don't know, will I be able to afford this or not? Because you haven't planned.
Yeah.
So you don't know what is going on. But you've got this funny feeling that perhaps I can't really afford it, but I don't know. I know I'm a little bit in trouble, but I don't know how deep. And there's this little monkey. You go on holiday, you can't really relax on this holiday because the monkey keeps on sitting and pulling on your shoulder, keeps on pulling your ear because this nagging feeling, I haven't planned, I don't know how deep am I in trouble, what, financially.
Yeah.
But if you plan and you know exactly, and there's nothing wrong spending money. There's nothing wrong splashing a lot of money and do whatever you want to do, provided you've planned for that. And if you've planned for that and you've put the money aside and you go on holiday and you've properly planned for that, then you leave the monkey behind and you can really relax and enjoy your holiday because the monkey is not there to keep on pulling your ear. And that's why it's so important. Make sure that you plan and you know what is going on. It doesn't mean that you have to be strict with money. No, in fact, if you plan properly, it means that you can enjoy life without the monkey keep on pulling your ear.
Oh, that's nice. I like the idea without a monkey while I'm on holiday, because I really do like going on holiday as well. But yes, again, like I said, for me and my husband, definitely we talk about our finances, and I guess plan in that way as well a lot better now that we talk about it. But I do feel in the beginning, when we started having these conversations as a new couple, even before children, I felt like it is an awkward conversation to have with someone. And I don't understand why. I mean, in the end of the day, I mean, if you think what you do with your partner, and I mean, you trust them, obviously, because you're marrying them, why are we having such difficulty talking about this?
Well, I guess part of the reason why people have difficulty talking about finances is because in the modern world, that is usually a sign of being successful or not. And that is why it's a big secret how much money I earn. I mean, I don't want to tell my neighbor. I want to sort of subtly hint that I'm quite successful because I drive an expensive car, for example. But quite often, I am not financially that successful because I'm just trying to pretend to be financially that successful. And in the meantime, I owe a lot of money because I bought the car on a credit. Maybe just something else that I think, but people quite often make a mistake, especially when it comes to kids. And just maybe I can just interrupt myself.
Yes.
Something that is crucially important with kids, and I cannot overemphasize this also, is to include kids in your financial planning. They must know what is going on. So they must know, they must learn about money, they must know about the family, the limitations of how much money is available to the family. They must understand how it works.
Yeah.
So include your children because that's going to be very well helpful to them one day when they need to do this as well.
But when would you start including them? Like when they're older? No, but at what age?
No, as young as absolutely possible. And let them share their dreams with you as well.
Yeah.
Let them. They want to go somewhere. They want something, whatever. And then explain to them, we all want something, but this is how much money we have. Let's see how we're going to make this work. So include, that is going to be, one day, they're going to be parents and they will have the same discussion with their kids. Okay, yeah. Coming back to
more on this, Davi, we have to go to an ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, my show is coming to a very strong end. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Yolandi Becker, and today we're talking about finances and dealing with your finances as a parent, I guess, as well. But, I mean, it's been very – Davi, it's been such a wonderful talk. My guest today, Davi Ruud, Chief Economist, also thinking about, I mean, planning, communicating with your partner and the difficulties coming. And you can hear truly, I mean, you have four kids, so clearly you know the drill here. And it's been really great. And you've, just before we went to the ad break, you mentioned that you want to also prepare your children to have the skills to not have these problems talking about finances, I guess. How do we? And you said as soon as possible, you need to start talking and including them in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the kids must be included. Can I just on something slightly different? I've got a slightly different, and this is a little bit closer to actual finances. I know there are people quite often what happens is that when a baby is born, you create a special fund for the kid and people put money in there. We take out a policy for when a kid goes to university and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not very much in favor of those kind of special instruments for children. Because I look at it slightly different. I think the family is more important. So what you do as a young couple and you start having children, manage your own finances, make sure you manage your own finances and your savings and your retirement stuff, all of that. That is where the emphasis should be. And once you establish yourself properly and you secure financially, then what is going to happen is that you will be in a position to start paying for the kids going to university. And eventually, one day when your life come to an end, your kids will inherit your stuff as well. So I think that's the correct approach. Quite often young people, they start having kids and they take out new policies and they put themselves under financial difficulty in order to pay these policies because one day the kids will get the benefit from that. And these policies are quite often quite expensive. You pay a lot of commission on these sort of things. And this money could have been much better used if you stabilize your own finances with that. And in one day, you will be in a position to look after your kids in any event. So rather look at the family, not consisting of a number of individuals, children here and there. A family is a single unit. And try to manage the finances as a single unit. And if you are financially secure, then your kids will eventually simply continue with the process and be financially secure as well. So don't make a distinction between the kids. They're all just part of the family. Make sure the family is financially secure.
Darby, on that note, I mean, that was a good segue into the start of what I said, that the marriage is the foundation for everything with it, with the parenting and everything. And if that's secure, everything is going to be secure. And I think that's even better to think of it as a family unit. It's so beautiful. Darby, it was such a privilege to have you on my show today. Is there a way that people can reach you or find you or read more about you?
The easiest way, I guess, is just Google me, Darby Root, and I've got all sort of YouTube things and blah, blah, blah. I work for the Efficient Group, of course, which is the best financial services provider in the country. We all know that. So, but Google me and you'll get the Efficient Group financial services company and you get sort of stuff. You're welcome to send me an email as well. Okay. And I can give you my email address. My email address is Darby Root, EF@EchoFox.group, EFGroup.co.za.
Great. Thank you so much, Darby. Have a wonderful day. I know you're going to.
Great. Thank you. Have a good one. Thanks, Yolandi. Bye-bye.
Bye.